I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, July 26, 2016 meeting of the Dairy Township Board Supervisors and ask if everyone rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jill, hand the roll call, please.
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. I'd like to announce that although it's posted within the meeting room, I'd like to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Also, the board supervisors met in executive session this evening to discuss legal and land issues. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the public hearing held on July 12, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. As opposed? And the public hearing minute meetings are approved, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the board supervisors meeting for July 12th, 2016 as well.
So
moved by Mr. Weir.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And those minutes are approved. At this time, I invite members of the public for visitor and public comments and ask those individuals who wish to address the Board of Supervisors to approach the podium, state their name and address, and also ask if they can find their remarks to 3 minutes or less. Seeing no takers, that will move us to the new business. Item A1 on the agenda is the presentation on insurance service office score by the Hershey Volunteer Fire Department. Jill, you run that, or?
I can just introduce Rodney Sonderman from the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. He's going to make a presentation on the insurance service office.
Great. Thank you, Rodney.
All right. Hey, good evening. Thank you. The insurance service office is an independent organization that was created around the 1900s in order to evaluate fire protection in communities, specifically structure fire protection. The independent office comes once every 2 years. The last one was done in 2006. Where we scored a 4 and a 9, and this year that evaluation was done in April, and we've gotten those results back. The full report has been sent to Mr. Negley for distribution to all of you, but tonight is just kind of a summary. The score is given by this office between a score of 1, which is exemplary, and 10 doesn't meet the criteria. The score depends on things like how much water does it take to put out a fire based on the size of the building, the occupancy, and those sorts of things. There's an actual formula for how much water is needed, and they evaluate those throughout the community. They evaluate the 911 dispatch center and how well people can call the fire department and how the fire department is called to those emergencies. They evaluate the fire department for equipment, staffing, training, distribution of fire companies so that they can arrive timely, operational considerations and risk reduction measures such as codes. They also evaluate the water supply, things like fire hydrants or suctioning out of a pond or a cistern and those kinds of things. I'm happy to say that we retained our score of a 4, although we did improve a couple of percentage points during that. And then the second score, so the 4 is if you live within 1,000 feet of a water source. So there's a fire hydrant, you go out on your street curb and you see a fire hydrant, you would get that score of a 4. If you don't see a fire hydrant, it probably means there's not enough water in those areas. The fire department would have to bring water with us, tanker trucks were laying very long lines to a hydrant. In that case, you would get a 4X as a score. Now, do you have to? So this score of a 4 is better than about 84% of the nation when we look at that. So as a volunteer fire department, I think we're doing exceptionally well in achieving that score. The national average is more of the 6s and 7s than a 4. What does that mean for the community? Really, nothing has changed. So as far as contacting your insurance carrier, there's not going to be any rate reductions if any of those apply. We are going to continue to work, and obviously the new building has some structures that we'll be able to take advantage of in the future. And we just didn't have enough time from the opening to when we were evaluated to make all of that happen. So at this point, I entertain any questions that anyone has.
Any questions or comments from Rob?
So that four is a scale with what's...
From a 1 to 10, 1 is the best, 10 is non-existent, we scored a 4.
And what was the 9 you mentioned?
The nine was in the old system, so it was a 4/9. If you did not live within 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant, you got next to the worst score, just because there's not enough water there. The Derry Township has about 80 to 85% of the community is protected within 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant. So there's relatively few houses that don't have that protection.
And when was it last done?
So we just had it in April of 2016. Before that, it was in 2006. So it was about every 10 years.
Every 10 years.
If there's a substantial increase or decrease, they could come in and do a spot check. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it's every 10 years.
And so you're pleased with the results?
I'm very pleased with the results. We covered the specific details in some areas that we could improve with the fire company last night. We'll be making some changes in the next 10 years to improve things.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you, Rodney.
That'll bring us to our next item on the agenda, presentation of a certificate presented by Steve Lenhart, Director and Emergency Management Coordinator, Dauphin County Department of Public Safety. This is identified on the agenda by Garf, Chief.
Yes, this is a presentation of a certification for Sergeant Beard with the Derry Township Police Department, who's also our deputy EMA coordinator. And Mr. Lenhart is going to explain the certification. It's a fairly rare experience for the local municipal aspect of things as far as emergency management.
Steve, would you like to address us?
Chief, thank you. I got a little confused being referred to as Mr. Lippard. I'm going to use the old Steve's fine. Supervisors, I usually make a point of presenting this particular level of certification to municipal emergency managers because it is rare. Title 35 of the Pennsylvania State Code is what encompasses the emergency management or emergency services statutes. And in the sequence following the 7100 section, it spells out what is required of a county and a municipal emergency manager. And it places the authority upon the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency by regulation to prescribe what the requirements are to meet a level of certification. And as of 2011, by a directive that was named 2011-2, the then director of PEMA, or the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, prescribed a list of required courses, both independent study, classroom involvement, and in some cases, a requirement to be involved in certain training and/or exercises in order to reach first the basic, then the advanced level, and lastly, the professional. If you are named a county coordinator, which is the position I'm named, I'm required to attain advanced certification. As a deputy coordinator, you're not required to attain any certification past basic. You are named by whichever coordinator you serve with. As soon as you are basically certified, if you choose to, you can stop the training process. You first acquire basic. It doesn't matter if you've already satisfied the training requirements. You must be in that level for 1 year before you're awarded advanced. Subsequently, if you decide to pursue professional certification, you have to at least be an advanced certified level member for one additional year. So the reason this is important is we have 40 municipalities in Dauphin County. Each of those municipalities is required to name an emergency management coordinator. He or she at his or her discretion is allowed to name a deputy. I know of only two other deputies throughout the entire county that have ever attained a professional level of certification since my tenure with Dalton County. It represents nearly 300 hours of either online or classroom instruction. And frankly, this one is a real treat for me to present because I've known Steve since my time in the DA's office. He's an exceptional asset to law enforcement throughout the county. He's been an active member with our regional task force as a member of the law enforcement strike team and the incident management team. His dedication to the residents of Derry, the residents of Dauphin County, and to our eight-county region is exceeded by no one else. And so, with that being said, I have a certificate signed by myself and the director of the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, acknowledging that as of February 18th of 2016, when he met the qualification, we finally have the opportunity to recognize him formally. And it's my pleasure, Steve, to give this to you and to congratulate you and thank you for everything you do for everyone. Thank you. Any questions?
Thanks, I appreciate it. Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Steve. I think we're going to look for a photo op.
Yeah, for our township web page.
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah. Have a tour to the front.
No, I'm fine.
Lauren's got it.
I got it.
Thank you. While you guys are all assembling, I can tell you from having actively sat in the EOC with Steve, I can only echo Steve Libhart's comments because it's been, I don't know, 12, 15 years. So he's a truly remarkable asset to our emergency services. Conditional use request number 2016-1 as filed by Escape Room Hershey. Striper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Supervisors held a hearing on July 12th to hear cause to allow the escape room to be established as a use similar to a permitted by right use. After that hearing, I did circulate a decision with the board and with our solicitor, John Yost. I know that John had no issues with it, and I didn't hear from any board member. The decision that's written is fairly standard in content. This project was recommended by the Planning Commission as well at their July 5th meeting. So with that being said, unless there's questions, I'm recommending that the conditional use decision number 2016-01 be adopted as written.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from Ms. Tremmer? Do I have a motion to adopt the decision for conditional use request?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed. And the adoption is granted unanimously. The next item on the agenda is item D1 through 4, consideration of a partial reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey Lodge. Auditorium replacement plat 1242. Is this housekeeping?
It is.
Very well. So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that consideration is adopted unanimously. Item E1 through 50 is the adoption of resolution number 1474 to authorize the submission of an application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority's Multimodal Transportation Fund Program for the Chocolate Avenue Streetscape Improvement Project. Ms. Zimmer.
Thank you. So back in December, we applied to PennDOT's Multimodal Transportation Program for this project. Those award announcements are anticipated later this summer. Essentially, this is looking at submitting the application for the same project to the Commonwealth Financing Authority's program, separate program, same pot of money at the state level, essentially. The request has come down a little bit based on working through engineering and final design with HRG. You received this in your packets. It essentially shows the scope of the improvements. It's a little bit hard to read, and we're also still working through some final design items with HRG. So I did bring, if you want to pull this up, if there are any questions or things you want to look at more closely, although the project has changed slightly since this phase, this is what was submitted with the PennDOT application. It's a little bit easier on the eyes to look at. So tonight we're looking at submitting an application that would be requesting $1,706,890. There's a 30% match required that would be $731,526. Tonight you would need to pass a resolution committing to the match and designating the signatories on the application. That match, then, we would be looking to apply to the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank for. Those applications are likely due September 1, so we'll be talking about that in August.
And I'm sorry, what is the match requirement for that?
The match requirement for this program is 30%, $731,000. I don't know why I'm struggling with that. $731,526.
It'll pass a lot this year.
Yeah.
And we would be looking to seek those funds from the Infrastructure Bank.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that would be a separate agenda item for your consideration in August.
Right. In the event that we didn't want to pursue MET funding through the Infrastructure Bank, mm-hmm. is there a mechanism by which we could accept less of a grant, or is it sort of all or nothing?
Yeah, no. So if you're awarded funding through this program, I mean, there's a chance, too, that they might come back and say, well, you asked for, you know, $2.4 million, we can give you $1.5 million.
Right.
You know, that really opens the door for discussions in terms of whether and how to modify the scope of the project. So in that case, you know, you could take a look at what's being offered and then what the township's willing to provide.
Right, okay. So the authorization being sought tonight is not obligating us at this point to any matching funds, correct?
It is committing us to provide the match, requesting, I mean, we do need to commit to providing the match okay. with the application.
Okay, very well. Are there any thoughts or comments?
As a clarification, so if we would get the grant and then not get the match, is that a possibility? Would we in any way be obligated to come up with those matching funds that didn't come through that second funding mechanism?
So CFA's grant contract terms are typically 3 years. So we would have some time. Say we didn't budget for it next year. We have this loan application in the pipeline. You know, there's some time to kind of clean things up and determine how we want to manage that project.
And the Infrastructure Bank, that is a loan?
That is a loan there. And again, I'll have more information on that in August. They're taking a look at the terms currently, but it's run through the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank program, which is funded through, it's similar to a PIB loan through PennDOT, but typically has better terms.
The Infrastructure Bank, that is what we use on the traffic signal in Homestead and very terms. But under the term, current terms of this application, the maximum amount that we would have to match would be the $731,526.
Correct. I mean, with the disclaimer that if bids come in high, we need to complete the project. But yes.
Okay. Any further thoughts or comments? Hearing none. Do I have a motion to adopt resolution 1474 for the authorization to submit an application to the Commonwealth Financing Authority's Multimodal Transportation Fund Program for the Chocolate Avenue Streetscape Improvement Project?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Ms. Court, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And that adoption is authorized unanimously. Next item on the agenda is approval of the Recycling Development and Implementation Grant from the Department of Environmental Protection this summer.
Thank you. So last year we had applied for funding through DEP's Act 101, Section 902, Recycling Development and Implementation Grant Program. This was for the purchase of the grinder for Public Works. We were successful in receiving funding through that program. The township has been offered a grant award of $240,345. Tonight we must formally accept the award and sign three copies of the signature page to get that back to DEP and get that project going. Under this program, the required match for the township would be, and this is based on an updated cost opinion on the grinder, would be $31,105, and that has been budgeted.
Any thoughts or comments?
Congratulations on getting that.
Thank you.
Great achievement. May I have a motion for the approval of the Recycling Development and Implementation Grant from the Department of Environmental Protection?
So moved.
Second. By Mr. Weir, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that approval is granted unanimously. The next item on our agenda is the appointment of one member to the Dairy Township Board of Library Directors for the unexpired term, Dr. Marilyn Carter. Jill.
There's a ballot in your packet to vote on two candidates that submitted their resumes for consideration for this appointment. It's for approximately a year and a half that expires the end of 2017. The candidates are William Eckenbarger and Jolie Webb.
If members of the board could circle at the his page, G2, ballot, pass it to the right, and Jill will read the person who's obtained the most votes.
William Eckenbarger has been selected to fill the vacancy.
Very well. Do we need to formally entertain a motion for his appointment, or has it been done?
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, if you could be so kind as to notify him that he has been appointed, I really appreciate it.
Can I also make a suggestion that we notify the other applicant and thank her for her interest in the township?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is participation in the 2017 Dauphin County Gypsy Moth Suppression Program.
This is an annual program that's put on by Dauphin County Commissioners and the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. We've been involved or offered to be involved in this program since about 1993. This year, they're estimating that the per acre cost for treatment would be between $55 and $60 an acre. We've budgeted $4,000 for gypsum moth suppression. If we would do a cost share of our share with the residents, that could treat up somewhere between 266 to 291 acres. We've only treated gypsum moth two other years, in 2008 and 2009. And in 2008, we treated 353 acres. In 2009, we treated 233 acres. So I believe that the cost sharing for the 266 to 291 acres would be in line with requests if they would come in.
For some reason, I thought we had participated in the program. Did we opt out of the program last year?
No. We've offered to participate, but what happens once we offer to participate, Jill puts it in the newsletter, we get the word out to the community.
Right.
It's up to the property owners then to circle back with us and let us know that they would like to participate as well. So, yes, last year we did agree to enter the program.
Right.
It's just that we had no takers.
Okay.
I'm suggesting that we agree again this year. Just
better chance. Sure. Any thoughts or comments for Mr. Emmerich?
I'll entertain a motion to participate in 2017 Dauphin County Gypsy Moth Suppression Program. Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? And our participation is granted unanimously. Next item on our agenda is board and committee information and correspondence. I'll start to my left.
Just two quick things. Just a congratulations to everybody with the Downtown Hershey Association, all volunteers from Rotary and all the other volunteers who helped out with last Wednesday's county picnic. It was a great success and nice to see everybody out just celebrating our community. So congratulations on a great event. And the only other thing is I attended the Design Advisory Board meeting last evening. So I just wanted to mention that to the group.
Okay. Thank you. Matt?
We had a Derry Township Municipal Authority meeting last night, and several things going on right now. One is to recover more energy from the plant down there to cogenerate, use the energy in the plant. Another one they're working on is solid waste management, which would be basically composting operation, again, to produce more energy to put back into the system. They're also instituting a new billing system for the area, which is going to help us out with the stormwater billing, which will be discussed at a stakeholders meeting tomorrow morning. And I want to remind everyone that the public will be invited to a public meeting on August 15th at 6 o'clock in the library. Involving the stormwater issue.
Thank you, Matt. John? I have nothing. Tristan?
Nothing. Thank you.
And if we could begin with our Chief of Police with reports.
Just two quick things with all the bad stuff that's been happening to our brothers and sisters across the nation and law enforcement. We wanted to acknowledge we have received a lot of support from community members. Cards, flowers, different tokens of appreciation to our department for the job we do. We really appreciate that. It's very humbling and it's very encouraging to go out there and keep working for this community. Second thing is we will have our National Night Out event next week, Tuesday, August 2nd, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It'll be back at the original location, first block of West Caracas. So we'll have events out there, sitting different city groups, different demonstrations and displays. So we're hoping for a good turnout and have everybody come out and support each other.
Thank you, Chief. And Chief, did we have a recent announcement about a positive citation program that we're going to be implementing?
Yes, there was a press release done. I think it went out on social media. South Sun actually is going to run an article and might not get out this week, but it definitely will be out by next week's edition. It's hit a couple of the news stations. Just briefly, it's a it's a ticket program designed to encourage positive interaction between our officers and the youth of the community. If an officer sees a child using a bicycle safety helmet or crossing the street at a crosswalk and using the right procedures, helping another community member out. I think we had one this weekend that was issued because the child was taking out the trash for their parents. They'll issue this positive ticket, reinforce the positive actions that this child has taken, and give them a voucher for something at one of the local establishments that's participating. And then at the end of the summer season, we'll be doing grand prize drawings with those tickets. So just a tool to get that interaction between our officers and the youth. Make their first contact with an officer a positive one instead of a negative one.
Positive reinforcement is a wonderful thing. And it's a great program, great initiative, and thank you for implementing that.
I won't take credit for the officer who heard from our department. He saw it somewhere else. I think it was Washington State being used, and it was originally developed in Canada, I believe. He actually called up about 10 different agencies that employ this to kind of get the parameters and the rules down so he can present it to us. So very, very good job on his part.
Thank you. Fire Department, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank Rodney Sonderman, Deputy Chief Sonderman, for his presentation tonight. He does stay on top of us in this department to ensure that our numbers are good when it does come around for these kind of tests. And also, we're very excited to assist the police department next Tuesday's National Night Out, and it gives us once again a chance to show off our station.
So, thank you very much. Tom?
Couple things. Late this week, we're going to start paving the areas that we milled through the village and in Palmdale. So you'll see us working through the village here in the next week to two as we get those roads paved. Secondly, I want to thank Lauren for all her hard work on procuring this grant for our grinder. That has greatly improved the production in the facility next door here of the material that we get in yard waste. Last week we took the old grinder to the Council on Governments auction. 23 years ago we paid $80,000 for that grinder, just about $80,000, and last week we got $19,254, which stunned me. I was prepared to put a reserve on it of $4,000 or $5,000 so it didn't walk out the door for nothing. And I was told by the manufacturer it was worth $1,000 to $10,000 depending what shape it was in. So we made out very good on that.
They can't give it back now, can they? As is where it is.
And thirdly, Chuck and I have talked about this last week. The property down along Hershey Park Drive here that's currently being renovated to a commercial use, you might understand, Chuck?
Yes, yes.
Fairway Drive, the road that goes up off of Hershey Park Drive, is actually a public road. It's one lane that dead ends at the top of the hill, and the driveway into that house makes a right. I'm of the opinion, and I think Chuck is as well, that it would probably be appropriate for us to abandon that stretch of road, given that it's there used to be two or three houses on there. They've disappeared over the years. Now it's down to a commercial use. I think the perception would be that we're plowing the driveway to a business. I throw that out there. Nothing that needs to be acted on tonight, but I just throw that out there for any thoughts or your consideration.
So how would you access their driveway?
So what will happen if the road's abandoned is it'll revert to the adjacent property owners. Because it's existed there for so long, even though that property owner doesn't own adjacent to that road out to Hershey Park Drive, they'll have a vested interest in continuing to use that land to access their property. Tom will just be giving up liquid fuels money.
Right? So I guess I'm not understanding. So usually half goes to each property owner.
Of the fee simple property. But then there's still an underlying right to use it as access.
By the property owners.
By the property owners.
So what you're doing is transferring the burden to the property owner to maintain it.
Right, and at this point it's serving one property owner.
Hmm. Is it simply going to fall under rights of adverse possession because of the use?
Maybe John should add something. As we abandon it, it's up to them to take it.
No, it's not a question of adverse possession. It's a question of what's the government, whether it's a state or the local government, vacates a person that is adjacent or has access to that, has a right to use it in the future.
What they do with it, once it's vacated, the person has the right to use it.
Yes, when we vacate an alley or whatever, the property owners along that alley have a right to continue to use it, even those who are.
Even if half of it goes to another property?
Conceivably, yeah.
So you still can use it on the other property?
Well, even when you vacate it back, that doesn't mean that you own it to the center necessarily. You still have.
So I guess what I'm asking is, are we putting the property owner in a position where they have to put a new driveway in?
Well, I don't know enough about this situation.
Okay.
And that's why I was going to ask you, if you could be so kind as to perhaps draft a memo of where this property is and the implications of abandonment in terms of what its implications would have on township, which I believe is that we would simply not have any more responsibility over it, and what the implications are to the landowner or landowners who have access to the property.
Sure, I'll circulate that with John first and then with the board.
That would be great. And it gives a little bit more insight on that issue, and then we can perhaps address that more thoroughly.
Yeah, and I think, it'll be interesting to see that. Because somebody just bought a property, put a bunch of money into it, and all of a sudden the township says, okay, now you have to spend a lot more money. We have to be sensitive to that, I think.
Yeah. And that's going to depend on how many property owners have access to that driveway and whether the property line is split down the middle of the driveway and things like that, which would be fleshed out, hopefully, in Chuck's memo.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thank you. Anything else, Tom?
That created enough controversy.
I'm sorry. You're still being Chuck's best friend, but that's okay. Barbara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for appointing a new member to our library board. We do have a very active board, and we look forward to welcoming that new individual. But I would like to be on record this evening as thanking Dr. Marilyn Carter. She's done a great deal of work with our board in the last year and a half that she has served, and certainly has been an integral part of the work that we've done, so I'd like to thank her. In addition, next week on Wednesday, we will begin that task of putting everything up and setting up for the annual book sale. Friends and the many volunteers that help them will be present from Wednesday through the following Wednesday and Thursday for the book sale. So we look forward to all of that activity next week as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Any questions or comments for Barbara? None? Sure.
Thank you. I have nothing this evening.
Thank you. Matt?
Thank you. For Lux and Java, all the pipes are installed now on Homestead Road, so they're starting to work on the final restoration, looking at curbs and sidewalks, and then we'll be paving that shortly. Over at the school district, the berm has been installed. They repaved the top of that, seeded it, put a wall in. That looks really good out there. On Locust, I sent an email last week about the continued issues out there. We took a look at that and are looking to install one more pipe in that location. Just spoke with the county today to make sure that we have the go-ahead to do that. George Carr's on vacation, so I will know on Monday if we have the green light to do that. And then we have a price from Eversol, and as soon as we get the go-ahead, we'll have them order the materials and get that new pipe installed.
Thank you, Andy. Questions or comments from Matt?
Yeah, two things. It just occurred to me halfway through this meeting. So last week we tabled two items, price change on the east pedestrian access, pedestrian trail on, along Middletown Road, right? So we tabled that. We talked to Brian this morning, so we're addressing that. The other thing we tabled was the crossing at Oakmont. And we did that because, can you refresh my memory?
I don't know if it was cost. Yeah, it was where we're going to find the money for that.
It was a total package. It was like $240,000.
And the dollar figures that were in the memorandum were commingled.
Yeah. It was clear.
It was a clear, it was a relatively muddy.
Yeah, as to the dollar figure that was reflected in the memorandum, apparently reflected both projects. The aggregate amount of both projects.
So there was a small error right there. So I don't see, it didn't make it back to the agenda this week. Is there any reason why we wouldn't have that on the agenda next week?
Our next meeting. I think we should.
We should.
Have those numbers been cleared up? Were we waiting for
it
that?
Was just a small
error. Clarify.
And
Eric Stump was on vacation, or it would have actually been on this agenda. Yeah. So it will be on the next agenda.
Yeah. If we can make sure that gets put on there, that'd be
I see Dave Weaver in the audience. Incognito back there. So I just wanted to make sure we brought it up.
And because I wasn't at that last meeting, just so I'm clear, we want the price just to do the Oakmont crossing on that.
Or the two points broken down. The memo we got for information purposes had an aggregate amount for both projects, and we were just wanting to make sure we were all on the same sheet of music in terms of the proposed cost of each individual project.
And so while we're talking about it, I'm just going to bring up something that occurred to me, and also Dave commented on it. I think it was a really good point. So there's nothing that exists there right now. We want a crosswalk. I'm not an engineer, but it seemed like there was a lot that was done, a lot of curbing, if there's any way to minimize that, I think that's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
and we don't want to create more than we need to.
We And I looked at it, and I had the same thought. I'm just saying, there was a question in my mind as to whether or not this crossing has been over-engineered in terms of, what it entails from start to finish. And obviously, cost is a big consideration for us. And would like for you to possibly take a critical view of that to see whether or not we need everything within that scope of work in order to achieve the goal of safely crossing the road in that regard, and see whether there's any potential cost savings that can be accomplished without compromising the integrity of the crossing or the safety of the crossing in that regard. Just again asking that you be mindful of cost in that regard. So.
Yeah, I'll make sure that we value engineer that. I know that some of the signage things were optional.
Yeah.
When we break the cost down, I'll make sure that all the items that could be removed are broken out.
So value engineer, that's the best term.
Yeah, so you guys can kind of pick and choose what the final product you want.
Yeah, and actually one other thing just popped in my mind. I think is the threshold for a stormwater plan 1,000 square feet or something.
It is.
So it was just over that, right? So, I mean, if we can even trim it to get below the 1,000 square feet, so we don't have to do that type of value engineering.
999 number.
Whatever you have to do.
Yeah. But if you could be mindful of that, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Sure.
Okay. Anything else for Matt, for any members of the board? No. And Justin, thank you very much for reminding me of that. Trevor.
A couple of quick odds and ends. We're continuing to receive comments on the zoning ordinance, continuing to weave those into our draft ordinance. In doing so, I felt in speaking with consultants, we feel much more comfortable pushing the public hearing out to October 25th. So I will be providing the board our tentative schedule that's been revised. So that's for the zoning ordinance. That would still allow adoption in November, providing everything goes smoothly. For property maintenance under our Community Champions program, so far this year we have received $1,000 in property registration fees. So hopefully we'll be able to start to weave a program around that, since that alone has been generating some funds. The board's aware that it circulated one of our court cases findings. There was also another case that we were awarded $300. So, for our official map, which is coming up to the Board of Supervisors for a hearing on August 9th, that's simply a reminder. And then during the month of June, the department
issued 16 building permits, one demolition permit. We issued 44 zoning permits. We did two stormwater BMP inspections, 208 building code inspections, and 36 property maintenance inspections.
Thank you, Chuck. Chuck, in terms of judgments that may have been ordinance violation judgments, have we undertaken any efforts when those exhausts have been, appeals have been exhausted, to execute on those judgments?
We've not quite hit the end of the appeals on any of them yet.
Okay, all right.
And as I said in my email to the board, I expect this one to be appealed. It's
fine. Sure, absolutely.
It's the maximum award that could be granted.
Sure. Any questions or comments for Chuck? None? All right.
Just a quick note that I've been managing the request for township sponsorship for the local share applications this year. Those are due September 1, and you'll be hearing presentations from the applicants on August 23rd and ranking at that meeting as well.
Thank you. And I just want to reiterate what Susan said about the picnic event. It was a blast. It was really well organized, really well done, and it looked like everyone there was just having a great, great time. So that was really fun event.
There are a lot of good people involved and a lot of good volunteers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, all right, Joe?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll take a motion for approval of accounts payable in the amount of $1,252,362.20 and payroll in the amount of $386,357.19.
So moved.
Moved, seconded by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those approvals are granted unanimously. At this time, I'd like to invite the public for a second period of visitor public comments. Anybody wishes to address the board, I invite them to approach the podium. Please state their name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Dave DeMeaver, 1163 Galway Court. If I could just elaborate a little bit on the discussion about the crosswalk. I think the original prototype had curbing and maybe ADA ramps and things like that. There's no curbing there anywhere in the area now. It's my thought, and the rest of the trail is asphalt macadam. It seems to me that just paving an area with macadam, even surface with the existing road, and extending that to make the trail would be sufficient. Again, I'm not an engineer either, but I don't know if that's something that can be considered out of the requirements or anything like that. I just wanted to add my thoughts.
Thank you, David.
Some of that information, or that some of the features are to make it ADA compliant. We'll make sure that
that's broken down. Yeah, great, thank you. Anyone else from the public who'd like to address the board? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
moved by Mr. Foley, seconded by Mr. Engel, and this meeting is hereby adjourned.